Good morning, everybody. Wonderful to be here. It's good to be here. Gathered together, worshiping the Lord, singing songs. Some of those songs were new to me, but they fit our theme. They fit what we're going to talk about today. And I appreciate Chad leading us and helping us have our minds focused. Some of those words of those songs are, you know, somebody was intentional about writing them. They thought about prayer and they thought about, you know, going to Christ with our needs and our, and so all of it comes together to help us, you know, sort of adjust our thinking and get out from where we were to now among God's people. Today is a beautiful day. Yesterday was a wonderful day. We fed our ladies and it was beautiful. It was wonderful downstairs. And today we eat again. Last Sunday, I preached a sermon on eating. Strangely enough, the topic was eat, because that is a way we come to know each other. We fellowship together, and so much happens in the Bible around a table. And it's just good to be in the habit of, you know, eating together. And I started counting it out, and counting the fellowship dinner we're about to have after this morning's worship. I've eaten with church people four times this week in like programmed ways, you know. I mean, we sort of like plan it out that we would get together and eat. So we're planning to eat. I hope that you are too. Come on downstairs. There's lots of food. It is a time where we just sit around, we talk to each other, and we eat together. There's just not enough time to get to know each other, right? When we're here, it's only a little bit of time, and we're moving out the door, we're grabbing kids, and they're, you know, running around our legs and that sort of thing, and, you know, we just leave each other. So come on downstairs, spend a little bit more time with the very cool people around you, and it'll be nice. You got to eat somewhere. You might as well eat here. Before we go to the lesson, let's go to the Father in prayer. Dear Lord, you are a God who wants to lead and guide us. You want to provide for us a means for us to not simply wander through life, but to have direction and purpose that you have laid out. Help us to listen for that, Father, to have our ears attuned to where you will take us, to where you are telling us you want us to go. Allow us to change where we need to change in that regard, Father, so that we can be people who are led by you and not by the other desires that arise within us. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. As I said a couple times, I'll say it again here, the class that Jim is teaching and this sermon series are so closely connected and related that a lot of the ideas nicely overlap. That's not a bad thing. As you'll discover, you know, it takes a lot for us to remember things that are said to us anyway. So a little bit of repetition is wonderful. It's very good. But this idea in this sermon series is, as we head out into the world, one of our goals is to have the world turn and look and wonder, what is it about that person? What is it about that family or about that individual that causes them to live the way they do, to have a joy inside of them that's different? Even this picture with kids, you know, straining to see something. You know, we don't know what's going on out there, but it's got their attention. There are people out in the world who are ready to have their interest piqued, who are ready to have those questions that they want to ask you and ask me. And the Spirit, you know, God through the Holy Spirit will put us in those opportunities, in those places. And we talked about how there are certain things we can do, certain habits we can just adopt that will open those doors more readily. We talked about blessing others, being a blessing to others. Last week we talked about eating with others, you know, spending time and sitting around a table with others. All this comes from a book called Surprise the World by Michael Frost. And his idea is the world is ready to be surprised. And if we just look like the rest of the world, nobody's going to ask us questions. Nobody's going to wonder what we've got. But if we live in such a way that is intriguing, well, then things can begin to happen. This habit the next three are a little bit different from the first two. And here's the third habit that we're going to talk about today. This is the listen habit, and this is what you would say. I will spend at least one period of the week listening for the Spirit's voice. Listening for the Spirit's voice. The first two are very action-oriented. Go out and bless people. You may give a gift, you may write a card, you may do something. Make sure you're a blessing to somebody else. We even talked about how there can be dangers there. They have to feel that it's a blessing, right? And not the other way around. Just the fact that you think it's going to be a blessing, you know, it's a two-way street there. They need to feel that as well. eating with people, you know, being intentional about those meal times and letting that be an opportunity for questions to be asked, for conversations to start. But this one is slightly different. Look at how this is described in this quote from a different book. A quieted heart is our best preparation for all this work of God. It's like, you know, I said the first two are action words, you know, going out there and doing something. But a quieted heart is the best preparation. Meditation refocuses us from ourselves and from the world so that we reflect on God's word, his nature, his abilities, and his works. So we prayerfully ponder, muse, and chew the words of Scripture. The goal is simply to permit the Holy Spirit to activate the life-giving word of God. So it's something happening inside of us. It's taking the time to slow down, take in God's word, and let that sort of permeate before we head out into the world to do the good he wants us to do. Jesus, as always, in each of these, all three of these so far, Jesus is our example. I'm convinced that Jesus did certain things, not because he had to, but because we needed to see him doing it. We needed an example to follow. And you know, baptism is a perfect example of that. That he knows, you know, I'm submitting to the Father's will here. And you know, he's not washing away his sins or anything. But it's an example for us. Jesus is our example. Look at this example that we have at the beginning of the Gospel of Matthew. This is early in Jesus' ministry. He's been preaching, he's been teaching. And people are getting the idea that this guy has the power to heal through God. And so they're bringing him all kinds of people to heal. So take a look at this, Mark chapter 1. That evening at sundown, this is in Capernaum, they brought to him all who were sick or oppressed by demons. And the whole city was gathered together at the door. And he healed many who were sick with various diseases and cast out many demons. And he would not permit the demons to speak because they knew him. So it's evening, this is actually sundown, this is a photo of sundown around the Sea of Galilee. So at evening, this house where he's staying, it's actually Peter's mother-in-law's house, it's flooded. The entire city shows up at his door. And what does he do? He heals and heals. He heals many who are sick. He drives out demons. It's what he came to do. So he's working into the night. He's working and working. And it's been a full day already. He's already done some things earlier in that day. He's had a very full day. And into the night, he is working. None of us would have wondered if Jesus needed to sleep in the next morning, right? You know, Jesus, rest, relax. You're only human after all, right? I mean, he is human, but you know, he's also, you know, divine. But this is what he does. This is the verse 35. And rising very early in the morning, while it was still dark. It's still technically night, right? He departed and went out to a desolate place, and there he prayed. And Simon and those who were with him searched for him, and they found him and said to him, "Everyone is looking for you." So Jesus, with this incredibly busy day, of the entire town showing up, and he's healing, he's interacting with these people. Early in the morning, while it's still dark, he goes off. And what does he do? He goes to a desolate place. He's by himself. He's far enough away that nobody could even find him. And he spends time with the Father. He goes there and he prays. Now he was there long enough that they came looking for him. It wasn't just that he ducked out for a second and came back. He's gone long enough, people are beginning to wonder. They're beginning to search around. We need the healing guy. We got more people to be healed and whatnot. And here's what Jesus said. And he said to them, "Let us go on to the next towns that I may preach there also. For that is why I came out." And he went throughout all Galilee, preaching in their synagogues and casting out demons. Now, I say that Jesus did things for our benefit. I believe that Jesus never needed a refresher on what he was supposed to do next, right? I think Jesus always knew the next place he needed to be. He was always in the right place. He was always having the right conversations face to face with people. But Jesus says, okay, I've spent this time with the Father. He let them know, I suppose, that he was praying. He says, and now I have clarity about the next step I need to take. It's perfectly clear. As if to say, Peter, you don't understand everything that's going on right now, but down the road, probably when you're relating this to Mark, so Mark could write this down in the gospel, down the road, you're going to realize that, Peter, you're going to need time to pull away and slow down and listen. All the busyness, all the craziness that you're going to be doing for me in the church, you're going to need times where you slow down, you take it easy. Because if you don't, then it's going to be confusion when it comes to what next steps do I take. It's going to be that your mind is all, you know, full of fuzz and fog when you should understand God's will and know where God wants to take you next. And so remember when I was out that desolate place and I came back, you know, you came to me and I said, I know where we're going. We're going to the next place, Peter. This is an example for you. This is what it can bring to you, the clarity it can bring for you if you make this a habit as well. If Jesus is not a good enough example, plenty of good example, we have other examples. For example, we have Paul, who also seems to have an awareness of where the Spirit wants to lead him. This is Acts chapter 16. As they went on their way through the cities, they delivered to them for observance the decisions that had been reached by the apostles and elders who were in Jerusalem. It's going from Gentile city to Gentile city. So the churches were strengthened in the faith, and they increased in numbers daily. So far, Paul leaves, you know, from the Jerusalem council. He goes on his second missionary journey. He's heading through these towns up, you know, north and west from the city of Antioch. He's moving up through the interior. He's having great success. He's strengthening churches in their faith. They're increasing in numbers daily. It's all going great. It's all going wonderful. This clearly is, you know, whatever steps we take, you know, God is blessing this. But look what happens. And they went through the region of Phrygia and Galatia, having been forbidden by the Holy Spirit to speak the word in Asia. I'll come back to that in a second. And when they had come up to Mysia, they attempted to go into Bithynia, but the Spirit of Jesus did not allow them. So passing by Mysia, they went down to Troas. Now this is bizarre to me, because here's Paul on fire, encouraging the churches that he'd been to before, you know, things are going well, and the Holy Spirit prevents them from speaking God's word in Asia. Tells us no reason why. And then he wants to continue north. I'll show you a map here, because that helps. So when we talk about the place where Paul is, right around here, he's moving through these cities. Oh, it's going great. Strengthening the churches. The church is going great. How about we go into Asia? No, Paul. Go north for a while. Oh, okay. He wants us to go north. We're going to go up into Bithynia. No, Paul. You're going to go west. If it was me, I'd be saying, I thought things were going well. I thought we were making progress. I thought, boy, maybe I'm wrong. You know, maybe I don't know the next step to take. But Paul's not like that. Paul says, I'm simply following the Spirit. And it may be that retroactively, he puts it all together and says, you know, we have no idea what it was like when they couldn't go to Asia, right? What was it? What was preventing them? What caused them to not be able to go, you know, directly west? We don't know what it was like when he wanted to go north, but he couldn't. He had to then go up and around over to Troas. We don't know. But I have a feeling they pieced it together later on and they said, oh, okay. So he wanted us to continue west. Because they go to Troas, he has this vision of the man from Macedonia, which is, if you continue where it says Thrace, you continue west there, that's where they're going. And that's going to be Philippi. That's going to be Berea and all those other places that we talked about in Jim's class today. The door opening up was over there, and Paul was willing to say, okay, if doors close, I'm just going to keep following the Spirit's lead. It may be that we have to go all the way around, and it doesn't make any sense. Paul's missionary journey there, it doesn't seem to make much sense. But he doesn't question. He says, we're being led by the Spirit. Paul was able to listen, or at least to be patient enough so that he could figure out what the message was later on, to say, okay, now I get it. We're supposed to be heading toward Macedonia. Sometimes we need to stop and listen. But here's the problem. We have a listening problem. You and I have a listening problem. And women, I don't mean husbands have a listening problem, even though we do. Mothers, fathers, I don't mean children have a listening problem. This is a human being problem. But yes, those other folks in our lives do have. They look at this study from the University of Minnesota. What they did was they were looking at companies where somebody was trying to relate information to somebody else. So you have a boss and an employee. And of course, the boss is going to share with the employee, here's the new plan, the new direction that we're going to take. And so laying out a plan, take a listen, this is what you're going to be doing, whatever the details are. What happens is, the boss begins and the employee is listening. employee is listening, and it's going great. He's focused. He's listening. But here's the problem. The human brain is a very funny thing. The human brain can articulate words at 120 to 150 words per minute. And articulate means you think about the thought, right? And then you say, okay, what words do I need to, you know, formulate that thought? And then saying the words, you know, that all of that is at the speed of 120 words per minute. So about 2 words per second for you to think about what you're going to say, to say it. All right, so far so good. Now that sounds pretty fast. 2 words per second sounds like it's moving pretty quick. But the opposite's the case. The human brain processes words at 350 to 500 words per minute. So there's a fundamental problem. As you start speaking to me, my brain says, yeah, okay, I get it. Oh, when is this ever going to end? It instantly becomes bored. Maybe not instantly, right? Maybe it's something interesting that you're listening to, but it will not take very long for your brain to begin to say, I get it. I understand what's being said here, yada, yada, yada. So what does the brain do? The brain starts to take a detour, right? While they're talking, while the words are coming out, there's other things I want to think about, you know? Let's stop for a minute here, husbands, all right? So when your wife is telling you about Sally, who is, you know, who's concerned about the family reunion, you're saying, okay, yeah, Sally, right, sure. But then you're like, you know what, I pretty much know where this is going. Her tone is that she's angry, so I'm going to find out what she's angry about eventually. But then there's the Penguins to think about. Are the Steelers going to hold on to Antonio Brown? What's going to happen? There's going to be more drama. What's going to happen? So what happens is you do eventually pick up again, right? Eventually you do. But the problem is, once you start listening again, you come back from your little detour, you notice it's a little bit of a dotted line. Here's why. You missed some things. So Sally, in your mind, becomes Susie because you were thinking about Sidney Crosby and it got all kind of twisted up. So you're like, she's talking about Sally, her hairdresser. Wait, I thought it was Susie, her cousin. Oh, well, whatever. So the thing is, you start to get even more bored because you're not understanding everything now that's being said. So you take an even longer detour. This was happening in this study. They were watching it happen with people who were not very good listeners. And then by then it's like, whoa, I kind of know what you're getting at, you know. So by the end, the boss is thinking, I got my message across, right? I'm the solid gold line, and this employee received the great plan that I was laying out. Meanwhile, and this is what the study found, it's possible that only half of what the boss said was actually getting through to the employee. And with husbands, it may be a lower percentage than that. It was like, because they're taking... I'm getting amens this morning, right, I know. Because we take these mental detours, and then we start to really lose the plot, we lose what's going on. So, the problem is we lack the patience, right? Now, husbands, now you can say, no, it's not that I'm not listening, dear, it's just that my brain is going so fast. You know, I'm actually operating, but hold on, I want to go back to this for a second. If you were here yesterday, the dining room was definitely articulating at least 150 to more than 150 words per minute, and the kitchen was operating at about 60 words per minute. I need a plate. Oh, okay, here I come. You know what I mean? It was that kind of thing. But women are good. They are good at speaking. Sorry. Okay, coming back. So the problem is we lack the patience, right? Our brains get bored and we get tired. We lack the patience. But if we lack the patience in human conversation with a flesh and blood person who's sitting right there with you, how much more so when you pick up God's word to listen to him? Because he's not gonna interact with you. He's not gonna suddenly stop and say, are you even listening to me? Right? He's not gonna do that. He's not gonna give you that look or give that step. No, that's happening. And so our patience is even tested even more. But when it comes to God's word, when it comes to taking that in, we have another problem. And that is, we're just too busy. We think we are. So we become so busy in our lives, we load up our schedules, we load up our calendars, to the point where we feel like, you know what, I would love to just stop and listen to God's word. I would love to take one period of the week. I love how he says that. He is treating us as if we are, I mean, one period of the week. I mean, he's not saying make sure it's an hour a week, because we'd be like, no, sorry, can't do that. I can't do an hour. All right, you just pick a time, Mike. Pick whatever time works for this habit, and maybe we could extend it as time goes on. But we feel like we're too busy. We got too much going on. Take a look at Isaiah chapter 55. This is God speaking through the prophet. And he's trying to get our attention. He says, come everyone who thirsts. Sometimes we don't even realize that we're thirsting. That came up in Jim's class today. That there's sometimes where, you know, it happens in the world, but it even happens among us. We don't even know what we need. We need something. We're thirsty for something. We don't even realize. Come everyone who thirsts. Come to the waters. And he who has no money, come buy and eat. Come buy wine and milk without money and without price. Why do you spend your money for that which is not bread, and your labor for that which does not satisfy? Verse 2 is about your busyness. It's about what you spend, your time, your energies. We can load up on things that do not satisfy. The world is full of things that don't satisfy. In fact, the world is designed to not satisfy you, to keep you unsatisfied, dissatisfied, whatever the word is, discontent, and keep you in that state so that you'll keep buying more. But here's the answer. This is the next verse. Listen, there's our word. Listen diligently to me and eat what is good and delight yourselves in rich food. Incline your ear and come to me. Hear that your soul may live, and I will make with you an everlasting covenant, my steadfast, sure love for David. He's speaking to the people of God at that time, and he's speaking to you. He says, if you want to begin to take in something that satisfies, if you want to take in my word, you're going to have to listen diligently. You're going to have to overcome your listening problem. You have to let me speak to your heart. Get past whatever barriers the world puts up in there. How does this happen? When you talk about listening to the Spirit's guidance, that can get dangerous, right? It can start to veer off into weird places. You know, somebody who's led by the Spirit, where might that take them? I think we have to make this point very quickly. Reading God's Word leads to listening. My listening to the Spirit, those times where I spend at least one period of the week listening to the Spirit's guidance, is going to come from God's Word. It's not going to be apart from God's Word. But it's almost two different disciplines. Where I'm reading it, I'm taking it in, I'm maybe even coming to study here, and I'm taking it in that way, maybe, you know, reading it projected off the wall. I'm doing things like that. But that then will cause me later on, when I'm by myself, when I'm able to be focused, when I think about God's Word, to maybe slow down and chew, as that first paragraph said, chew on those truths. Let them apply to me a little bit more. I'll share a personal experience. Two verses that hit me as I was reading through. I was reading through 1 Corinthians. This was a few years ago. And I came across a verse that is almost a throwaway verse, because Paul is trying to talk about something else, talking about three or four things at once. He gets a little bit, in 1 Corinthians 15, there's so much he wants to say. He gets a little bit caught up. But look at what he says here in verse 10. He says, but by the grace of God, I am what I am, and his grace to me was not without effect. Now, I don't want to read this out of context. He's talking about himself as an apostle and how God's grace got in there, started changing him and turning him into an apostle who went out and did great work, did great things in Christ's name. And so he's talking about how, you know, God's grace to him was not without effect. And I read that, and it was one of those verses that it just sort of sticks with you for a second if that's what you needed to hear that day, and I did. Because I was, for whatever reason, in this zone where I was thinking in terms of salvation. I was, okay, God says, I've saved you, I've brought you out from where you were, Mike, and now get right, right? Come on, you know, change your life. What's taking so long? Make some changes, let's go. And Paul says, it was God's grace that got inside and started taking effect. It started to have an effect. It was not in vain. It began to change who I was. I needed to stop and chew on that for a while. I needed to ponder on that for a while. And I did. And it was helpful. Another verse, very similar in theme actually, because God knows what you need. He knows where you tend to have spiritual blind sides. This is from 1 John chapter 3. By this we shall know that we are of the truth and reassure our heart before Him. For whenever our heart condemns us, God is greater than our heart and He knows everything. So I'm reading along, I'm reading 1 John for whatever reason, part of the regular devotional Bible reading that I was doing. But I came across these verses and I realized my heart was condemning me all the time. My heart never shut up about it. My heart was always saying, Mike, you're useless. Mike, you're falling into this again. You've fallen into this weakness. And my heart was blabbering on and on and on. And I needed this verse to say, sometimes you need to tell your heart, God knows more than you know. So be quiet for a while. Your heart's not reliable, this verse is saying. God knows the truth. God understands where you are. You combine these two together, and that's some pretty good news. That's some nice reassurance. Those are things that happen when we stop and listen to God's word, when we allow it to sort of get in there and begin to change us. This happens, I think, as an example. This is what David has in mind when he writes Psalm 1. Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the wicked, nor stands in the way of sinners, nor sits in the seat of scoffers, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and on his law he meditates day and night. Now, I don't know about you, but sometimes when I'm trying to sleep or something, thoughts just pop up in my head, and they're just rolling by me, and I'm constantly thinking about things. In the case of this person, he's taken time in God's Word so that when he does lay down at night and things are popping, it's God's Word that comes to him. And he gets to meditate on that, not just during the day, but also in the night. He's taking it in. He's listening. He's thinking about God's Word and what it means for him. Not simply by itself, but how it can affect the heart. The Holy Spirit, of course, Jesus promised that the Holy Spirit would do this. But the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all that I have said to you. We need the Holy Spirit to say, remember what God's Word says. Remember the words of Christ. And it helps us to realign, to reset the course where we need to go. But the key here, of course, is that being led by the Spirit begins with listening. If we're going to live a life that is led by God's Holy Spirit, then we have to be willing to listen. Sean and I were in Germany, as you know, for a year of college. We were students over in Germany. And we were not, we couldn't always stay in the fanciest hotels or anything like that. So what we did was we would scrimp and save because we both had student jobs. And what we did was we saved up our money. And one day we were walking by a travel agency, and it was a Turkish travel agency. And we bought a package deal where you would fly to Istanbul, from Frankfurt to Istanbul, and have a tour in Istanbul. And it was beautiful. It was amazing. It was great. But here was the catch that we hadn't really considered, and that was that the tour was a German language tour. Meaning this is a tour for Germans, okay? So for German people to go to Istanbul and be led around, and but they're going to be speaking German the whole time. Oh, okay, my German's not bad. Well, let's see how this works, right? And so for the first couple of days, it was perfectly fine. It was great. We saw wonderful things like the Blue Mosque and whatnot. Yeah, it's nice touristy type things. But it was actually right around the Blue Mosque where they told us to meet back at a certain time. They sometimes do that with the group. Go out, do your thing, and then come back and meet here at a certain time. And I thought I was listening to when we were supposed to meet. But we got back at the time that we thought nobody was there. Nobody from our group. The tour bus was not there. And so we began to panic. And in fact, we went probably a couple hours without our tour group. We knew generally where they were going to be, so we slowly made our way. It was me and Shauna and one of our friends, Leah. We made our way to the Grand Bazaar, which was going to be the next place where we were supposed to be. I said, well, okay, so if we're going to meet at the Grand Bazaar, we'll just go there. And I'm sure we'll see somebody we know. There's like a million people in the Grand Bazaar all the time, and this was a weekend. It was scary, because there we are, we're adrift. We don't know how to get back to our hotel. Our hotel, there was like five or six of the same name hotel that was in Istanbul. There was no way back. Wandering around, we finally, just randomly saw one of the ladies from our group. And we almost grabbed her. We were like, get us to the bus, take us back to the bus. We were lost, we were wandering because we hadn't listened. Now, I will say, it was listening in a different language, right? But isn't that the point? Sometimes listening to the Spirit, it's as if He's speaking a different language than we are. Because we're not focused that much. We're not as attentive as we could be. Being led by the Spirit means listening to the Spirit. We need the Spirit's guidance. In our family circle last week, what I did was, we talked about eating, in the sermon. So I said, well, let's do the counterpoint. Because we talked about how, eating is a way of helping our relationships, our friendships in the world, and those people can then ask us questions and whatnot. And I said, but there's a counterpoint to that, right? That we would find in James. James chapter 4, verse 4. You adulterous people, do you not know that friendship with the world is enmity with God? Therefore, whoever wishes to be a friend of the world makes himself an enemy of God. And we talked about this in family circle, and I said, if we talk too much about getting out there, being friends with those in the world, don't we start to, have a concern about what James is warning us about here? And we talked about how we need the Holy Spirit's guidance. We need to be led by the Spirit. We need to be walking in the Spirit, especially if we're going to have as our mission reaching out to the world. We have to discern. Instead of living according to the flesh, we should be walking according to the Spirit and set our minds on the things of the Spirit. There's a spectrum here that we have to be aware of. On the one side, there's embracing the world. And on the other side, there's rejecting the world. And you may say, okay, maybe since the world, as James said, is so evil, we should just reject it. Well, really, there's problems on both sides. So on the left side, embracing the world, sorry, you have the potential for drunkenness, gluttony, gossip. I mean, add all of the sins of the world, right, on the left side. So if you got too chummy-chummy out there with the world, well, there's the potential to fall into all kinds of pitfalls. But then, of course, if we reject the world, we can be like the Pharisees, standing in judgment, pointing our finger, or being separatists, forming our own communes. We're not going to be out in the world. We're not going to reach out to the world whatsoever. And so we need a way to discern the path. We need the Spirit's help. In this book, the guy makes a great point. He says, I suspect we are not wise enough to determine where the middle ground is here. So I don't think we are wise enough. I don't think that if we had the opportunities that God's laying out for us, that we would make the right decisions if the Holy Spirit wasn't somebody we were listening to. And so he says, you cannot decide, I'm going to head out into the world, I'm going to show the world Christ, without the discernment that comes from the Spirit. And that's the point. That's why we take time to stay grounded in God's Word, as the Spirit reminds us of the words of Christ. And so today, we are a group of people with a mission. He's given that to us. He wants us to share this message, this truth. He's given us the Great Commission to do so. He says, but first and foremost, I want you to listen to the Helper that I've given to you. I want you to listen to the one who will remind you. You have a listening problem, so be attentive, be diligent. Have your spiritual ears open so that I can lead you where I want you to go. God is a God who wants to lead us on this grand adventure, this intriguing adventure, where the world begins to turn and look and wonder, why do they have this joy inside of them? Who is this God that they know that gives them such reassurance and comfort in life? He's a God who long ago said, I do not want the world to be condemned. As Steve read this morning, I love the world, and so I'm sending my son that the world might be saved. Maybe today you need to decide. I don't want to be in the category of somebody who is bound for condemnation. I want to be in the category of life eternal through Jesus Christ. He offers that to you this morning. Come as we stand and sing.